Welcome to Star for the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm an SWP Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just to remind how to join us, we have TalkCast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talks website, www.talkshoe.com. Search for quality 17702, or you can search for Starfleet Universe On Call or SWU On Call. I think you can do that, but definitely the first one. You can and you will find it there. But of course, if you want to join the elite, the truly awesome people that are in the chat room, the place to go is twitch.tv/SFU on call. That's right. We're on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv/SFU on call. You can join the chat room there and have the live and chat those people there. And I will be doing my best to monitor those people because those are the best chat room on the internet. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to, you can follow me on Twitter, if it's still alive in the next week. And you can follow me at SFU On Call. Of course, you also can follow my personal account, Paul Franz, which I don't really post much these days. So if you want to follow me, great. And of course, I have my Franz Games one, which I haven't announced anything lately, but you might never know. If you can keep an eye on that. And yes, I will be creating a Mastodon account for those, for the other two. I already have a personal account, which is over on Fostodon. So if you want to find me, you can find me over there. And of course, you have this TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. And this week, A to B is quite quiet. Maybe a little too quiet. Hopefully not too quiet. But no news is not always good news, but okay, it's just no news. And in this case, just a reminder on some quick things, of course, A to B has lots of wonderful free stuff. Just go to the StarfleetGames.com website. You can go to the Master Index. You can find all kinds of stuff in there. Also, if you want to, you can go to federationcommander.com, and you can find all kinds of stuff there, too, including the newsletter and back issues of the newsletter, so you have all kinds of pre-release, like ship cards and rules and things like that that are in that, I think it's Hailing Frequencies. Now, moving on to the SCP Online Tournament, the Sapphire Star Tournament, we've got round one complete, the round three out of four games done, and looks like we will need a replacement. Andy is dropping out of the tournament. Not good, but hopefully Steve Petrick can work out the issue relatively quickly, and we can move this thing going on. Moving onward to the library report, we actually had a couple of fixes for the hydrants from Frank. I still haven't updated the Lyrans, and I apologize for that. I really should sit down and do that. You know, I have to go through my email and find it first. But you know, so there have been updates for the SFB library. When it comes to FedCom library, there has been no updates this week. So with that is the news for this week. And it's me, someone all Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it's got me and you got Dave and whoever joins us in the wonderful and awesome chat room. And if you're not here, why aren't you? You know, I got twitch.tv/SFUOnCall, just the chat room there. Dave's going to be over there. I'm sure we'll probably get a sighting of Iggy and possibly Chris, you know, and possibly even more people, which would be great to see. Tonight, the topics are going to be interesting. Actually, the first one, just for those who begin where I dropped off the last one, which was talking about my battle group and what I'm facing against. And I've got a little issue. It's called drones. Oops. Let me see if I can bring it up. Here it is. Okay. Oh, someone just joined me. Give me a sec. There it is. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul.
How you doing?
I got one of those guys with me. The other one's napping, sleeping.
Awesome. Awesome.
They're just not back from choir practice yet.
Understood.
But,
yeah. So I will continue on to what I was doing. Actually, last week, I'm going to just continue on when it comes just a quick rundown of who I am facing. For those watching the video, you will see this. Let me just bring up, whoops. Just for those who have not seen the Recon Cobra, here's a Recon Cobra standard 20 power, because you got the 18 warp and 2 impulse, and you've got the 4 phaser 2s, the 1 TRL, and of course the 1 Dizzy Dev. And one good thing about the Dizzy Dev when it comes to Fedcom is that it doesn't require warp. So it's like, yay! So there's certain things you don't have to worry about. The only problem, of course, is this one, as noted here. Dun, dun, dun. This ship has no probe launcher, which sucks. I have to double check on the Vipers to see if they have probe launchers. If they don't have probe launchers, I've got a big problem there. But anyway, this is what it looks like. You know, standard. You have 4 PA panels in the front, 3 PA panels in the back. You know, so it's basically, when it comes to armament and defense, it's got the same as Dodge Viper. No, we're not talking about a car here. We're talking about an Andromedan ship. It's the same armament and defense as the Viper. Now, one thing I'd have to double check on is the batteries. I don't remember if the Viper has 4 batteries or less. I'd have to double check on that one. But moving on, I want to talk about what I'm facing. I've got all 4 ships here loaded up. Now, this is here. I'm showing the FIWV, the mobile carrier, which is basically over 191 points. Now, 191 points is definitely... Excuse me. Let's go. Mute Doug there just for a little bit. After I do the introductions, then I'll bring them back in. The lowdown on this. Okay, thank you. Chris says that the Andrew Viper has 4 batteries. Okay, thank you. And for those of you of the football persuasion, Raiders are beating the Rams 13-3. And of course, by the time you listen to this, if you're not listening live, then guess what? You already know who wins and who loses. But anyway, moving onward. And that's a half time anyway. The mobile carriers, they have, it's like a regular F5, but it has, you know, so it has the 2 labs. It's got the, it has 5 phaser 1s, which actually is pretty good. And that's probably, it's because it's a war destroyer. That's why it has the 5 phaser 1s instead of any phaser 2s. And it has the 2 disruptors. Now, you know, it's only got, it's got 18, it's got 20 power. Sorry, 22 power. So it doesn't have much more than what the Andromeda has, but the more important thing is that he's got 26 shield, 20 and 20, you know, for the front. So I have a better chance of getting through, though, at the same time. He's got more disruptors and I have less TRLs. So the bad part about this his fleet is that he's got eight fighters. Each fighter is considered 10 points apiece, which that might be the case, you know. In this scenario, they're going to be worth a lot, heck of a lot more because of one big thing, which is each of them has two drone rack, can fire each two drones. Now, I got to look up on the rules on the fighters and drones and all of them. I did read up the original rules for fighter attacks, and I think it was in one of the captain's logs. I forget which one off the top of my head, but it's there. So I need to check on that to see how many drones can be launched from the fighters at one time, and things like that. Because the question is, can he launch like 16 drones at the same time? You know, and then basically, can he launch his whole load of drones at one shot? Because if you can launch all those drones in one shot, I've got a big, big issue. Because I'm going to be running my tail off to run away from these drones while he's gathering lab information, you know. So I can easily see him doing something, you know, just, you know, fly in behind, you know, slowly. And then launches drones, and then to keep me at a distance, have me run away so that I can't get a good number of lab points while I'm running away, trying to beat down the drones as quickly as possible. So I have to look up the rules for that. So that's what this one looks like. Now the other another ship he has is the F5WC. Standard kind of thing. It's got the five phaser ones, you know, two in the front, three in the rear. And it actually has a total of seven phaser ones. So you have the two, you know, one left side, one right side, and it has two drone racks. So to say the very least, this is a freaking powerful ship. And of course, it has two disruptors, and it has the same amount of power as the other one had. Actually, a little more power, 1 point of power more. So it's 23 instead of 22 power. So, and of course, half movement cost here. And it has the same amount of shield, you know, 26 and 20. Then we have the scout, which only is 21 and 16, because this was not the war destroyer. This is just the F5S. So he's got the sensors, and then of course, the one drone rack and the one ad rack. So the ad rack is pointless and useless for this battle. I need to double check on the special sensors because I'm pretty sure that the special sensors can be used for information gathering. And of course, he's got two labs. And then finally, we got the F5E, which has, again, has four drone racks. But the one good thing about this guy is that, yeah, he's got four drone racks, but he has no disruptors. So, to say the very least, now he's got, you know, the two phaser ones and the three phaser twos. I'm pretty confident. Yeah, that actually in this case the 5S has five phaser twos, so it doesn't have any phaser ones whatsoever. Which, yeah, so this is, you know, this 5E is more akin to the original Klingon F5. If you ever remember this, and of course, also this has less power. You know, big surprise. 16, 17, 18. 19. 19 power, 2 labs. Now, here's the gotcha with me is that I basically him and I had the same number of labs, which is 8. He's got 4 ships with 2 labs apiece. Of course, he's got the special sensors. I don't. I have a Dizzy Dev. Now, the Dizzy Dev, in this case, I don't... The only thing it might do... is I can imagine it being used against the carrier. Mainly because of... I'd want to knock down the drones and kill all the fighters before they could be rearmed. And that's the one... Another thing I have to look up is can the fighters be rearmed in the time period of a scenario in FedCom? My guess is yes, they can. And with that, I'll bring Doug back because it seemed like he was having a little bit of... Oh, and I think and we got Jeff. And da-da-da. Waiting for him. Okay, there he is. There's Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Hey, Jeff.
Howdy, howdy.
But that's basically the lowdown.
Out on the road to-
yeah.
Well, something like that. It's a little bit different this time. Similar outcome, different schedule. And we got holiday orders, so I'm going to oddball places. Cheyenne, Montana, Spokane. And I usually just hit the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, Jeff, I'm not sure you were listening to the Twitch stream.
No, I just realized the time and zapped in.
Okay. No problem. Just wanted to give people a lowdown of the battle group, you know, that I'm facing with my 8. Well, sorry. Yeah. It's 7 Vipers and a Recon Cobra.
Right.
And I just gave them a quick rundown of what each of these ships has. Approximately comes the number of drone racks we've got in the neighborhood of 10 drone racks.
Oh, wonderful.
I mean, and then of course we have one mobile carrier. Now let me bring that up. The mobile carrier has 8 fighters. Now The good thing, I got checked. Does it have it noted here? No, I don't see it noted. My guess is probably going to be noted in the description. And that is how many fighters can be launched at one time. When it comes to the starting of a scenario, how many fighters can actually be pre-launched before the scenario begins? Because depending on those two critical things, the first turn can be really ugly, or I might be able to at least get set up and get certain things done beforehand. Yikes.
And how many drones can those 8 fighters tickle off? 2 each?
Yeah, they have 2 drone racks, 2 drones each. And 2 phaser,
okay, so.
two phaser threes. So.
If it's one thing the Andromedans are really light on, it's drone defenses.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the tough part because it has fighters. Which is, how do I that's one thing, as I pointed out earlier before you showed up, which is I have to read up on the rules when it comes to fighters. because of the fighters will define the fighters will define my tactics, because you know if they have to be on board the carrier when they show up in the scenario, okay, and they only can launch one every other one impulse, then I'm much better off. But if he can have half
until the start of turn two,
right? But we're gonna start at range 18, around 18, 20, around range 20 or so. So, I have to look up the rules for him, because of I could deal with a certain I can deal with 10 drones. Big whip. Woo! I can deal with 10 drones. The problem is that if you got all of the fighters out, launched, and they can then launch all of their... If, and I have to look up the rules, if they can launch all of their drones in a single turn. Because if they can, then I've got deep doo-doo. Because I only have... I have 32 phaser 2, so I can... eliminate possibility of 32 drones, probably more likely around 20 drones per turn.
And that's providing, of course, if you can identify the targets of the drone.
Well, I can. They're automatically, they're announced.
Set yourself up for range zero defensive shot. Oh, that's right. This is not SFP. So
this is FedCom.
You don't have to deal with some of the complexity.
Right. I don't have to worry about, there's no secret, targeting and that kind of thing. No, I know where you're launching.
So they're all just basic. Yeah. They're all just basic type ones.
Yep. Exactly. So, I can possibly deal with them, but it gets antsy. And the question is, how many drones will be on what ships?
Right.
Don't mind me.
Sadly, the before I died. Just put two of your cobras out front. Two of your cobras out front. That's the rest of them. Just if those two cobras draw a drone fire, don't worry about it.
Right.
Use those drones, use them as attack platforms on the fighters or whatever else comes along. Yeah, this is not going to be something where you can super stack that force with that many drones.
Oh, agreed. But as I said, I have to look up those rules for when it comes to fighters, and that's gonna be a delay in producing a tactics paper. It's because I have to look up those rules.
Unfortunately, you're running out of time.
Yeah, I know. It has to be in by next weekend? No, it has to be in by Thursday, I think?
The 15th.
15th, yeah. That's
15th is the due date.
It's next Thursday. So, yeah, I plan on working on it this weekend. Is the plan. I actually sat down and printed out all of the ships so I could basically lay them out on my kitchen table, look them over, and define the kind of tactics that I want to do. Because the tough part, of course, is going to be he's going to be probably launching drones at me while I'm trying to stay close to 2215 to gather the information. So, and he might come in close enough. If I stay close enough, he's going to want to also whop me with his disruptors here and there.
You might be in a better situation to ignore the fighters on the first turn.
Oh, yeah.
And then just run down his carrier and try to pop it with all your TRs.
Right. Well, that's why the one thing I'm thinking about in that the Dizzy Dev, the one thing that I talked about a little bit earlier, which is that the Dizzy, the only good use, the way I see it at the moment, the Dizzy Dev is going to be displacing the carrier, separated from the rest of the ships. So that, you know, especially the earlier the better, you know, and that's, again, I have to read the fighter rules. The fighter rules aren't widely known. I did go through them. I did do a review of them, 2-3 months ago. That's when I was, when ADB had announced what FedCom modules that they were going to be releasing. They're just trying to figure out which one they were going to do first. And unfortunately, have not released a single FedCom module, which is kind of upsetting to me. You know, which one's the X ship, the other one's the Fighter's Attack, and I forget what the other one was off the top of my head. There was another one, I can't remember, but there's three.
Yeah, sadly, too many of their customers want the fancy toys the X ships bring.
Yeah. Well, I know the other one was gunboats.
Right.
And be honest, I'd like to leave the fighters where they lie, you know, in the grave. I probably want the X ships first, then the gunboats.
If I read between the lines, I think Stephen Cole wanted to leave the fighters out of SC2. At least as much as he could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
some of his board posts have hinted at the fact that he thought they were an unnecessary complication of rules that they had worked hard to streamline.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but the flip side of that is that that's all part of the canon of his universe.
True enough.
And people will expect to have it in some form. I mean, it can be simplified. You know, you can make them pretty much, I don't know. But
yeah, you take the fighters away from the Hydrans and the Kzenti, you have pulled their fangs.
Right. That's one thing. They've had the fighters for the Hydrans for a while. From the beginning, they had Hydran fighters. That is true. But now, you know, they've got the other empires that, you know, they're going to be giving fighters to, like the Klingons, the Zinnies, the... I'm not sure if they're going to give them to the Lyrans. Or any of the... I assume the Romulans and the Gorns will have them too. So... Of course,
unfortunately, when you get down to that point, it's.
But
and you start trying to figure out, are you going to translate the Plasma D rules for FC? And it becomes a daunting equation.
Oh, agreed. That's why, as I said, the fighters are the last ones I'd want to do. And to be brutally honest, the problem with this. I have to check the rules, and I really do, because I can't really say whether or not things are on balance because of what's the biggest issue with drones in SFB? The number of drones you can put on the board at one time.
Seconded by the counting you have to handle before you even start the game to make sure that you've spent all your points without leaving capabilities on the table.
True. That's the second thing, which is, of course, how the drones are so modular. You can make whatever you want with them. It just it can be such a pain in the butt because you could spend hours just coming up with just the perfect, you know, drone loadouts that you want for your fleet. You know, it's nuts. But what is the defenses? Because of the number of drones, the opponents who don't have drones or have you know, I basically don't have drones. Because obviously if they have drones, then you can launch drones against drones if you really want to. But more to the point, if your opponent doesn't have drones, what's the defense is that in SFP, you've got three main ones. You've got normal phasers, you've got T-bombs, and you've got wild weasels. FedCom, what do you have? Phasers. That's it. Obviously you can run around the board all you want, but that's just a delaying tactic. Because yeah, I'm pretty sure FedCom has the same rules as SFB, and that is the drones have a limited lifespan. They can only survive on the board for 3 turns. I feel pretty confident in saying that. I could. Yeah. Chris agrees that.
Weren't you reading a rule about swarms a few weeks ago where they were trying to deal with it in a more abstract manner?
You mean the drone? Yeah, the drones and the fighters?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. As I said, it was like a couple months ago, actually. I'm pretty sure it was when I went going over fighters, the rules for fighters attack that was in, I think, one of the captain's logs. Yeah, that or one. I think it's one of the captain's logs. I have to. That's the one thing I have to sit down. I have to find the time to sit down and find it. So, and that will define my tactics that I'll be using for this battle. You know. Because I could easily spending so much of my effort just on defense because of all of the drones that could be possibly on the board. Yeah.
Well, here's a question: is in the current rules that you have to face, if you kill the fighters off, do they lose their drone tracking, or is that done by a different way?
Well, again, I have to look at the rules. I looked over the rules the once, and
let's ask the question a different way: is drone control handled in FC the same way it's handled in SFP?
That's a good question.
Because in SFP, when I was dealing with bunches and bunches of drone chuckers, one of my favorite tactics was to dizzy dev the units best capable of controlling drones and making them shift channels and dropping drones they couldn't keep controlled.
Right.
If the fighters can self-guide, which is likely, that's one answer. But if the carrier has to provide guidance for their drones, like the early Zenti shuttles, then it might make a difference.
Control drones. Suicide shells must be controlled or guided by the fire scanners of the launching unit. A ship can control no more than 6 seeking weapons. Now, when it comes to drone control, when it comes to the fighters, obviously I need to find those rules. So I have a lot of, Chris has mentioned that FedCom has a concept with single and double drone control, just like SFB has. And that is that, And that, you know, so I don't know, but they say I have to go find the rules is what I have to do. So that's going to be my project for this weekend, which is go find the rules. So that, you know, I can write something up that's intelligible. Intelligible. Because.
Well, that is the trick, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Because some, I think both. My guess is that both players, their tactics are going to be, obviously, they're going to be rooted around that one position, 22-15. And getting as close as possible without sticking around. So we might be all, both of us might be just going around in circles and possibly even in a almost an ellipsoid.
Right. It's not like Starfleet battles where you can star castle and spend all your warp energy on reinforcement.
Right. You can star castle, but you're going to die anyway. You're going to die a horrible death. Because of you don't get any additional shield reinforcement. What? Though, in addition, in SFB, you have the ability to do wild weasels against drones. So there is a benefit to actually sitting still, which is, okay, he launches drones at you, boom, pop out the weasel, and bye-bye, there they go. Now, obviously, even the SFB, that's a delaying tactic, period. You know, star castling is a delaying maneuver overall. Because at some point, if what you're doing, if you keep on popping out those drones, if you launch the drones at them, get a nice wave going, come in, and he pops out a wild weasel. He's only had so many wild weasels before he's dead. You know?
Weasels also probably interrupt your ability to use labs to gather info, too.
Yeah. But in this case...
The other thing is...
Yes.
If I may...
Yeah.
The ultimate thing of your thing is whoever gets the most information out of that one hex wins, right? And that has to do with getting a ship off of the board that has that information, or getting it and getting somebody off the board. But if you're facing a carrier and it's got escorts and fighters, will you have enough PRs that you could just blow up one of the escorts and take out or cripple the fighters at the right spot? And reduce your threat a great deal.
That's why I was suggesting on turn one, ignoring the fighters, charge in on the carrier or some other high-value target, and then just concentrate fire.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if in FedCom they actually have the idea of explosive values. You know, how much does a ship blow up for?
The other aspect to this I feel obligated to bring up is that the rules indicate that these are going to be speed 20 drones. So that means that it is plausible, not necessarily economical, but plausible, that after you run your gun pass, you just keep going and let the drones chase you around the board until you figure out how you're going to handle it, even if that means running them out.
Yeah.
If you're looping around that one spot, you might be able to, you know, can you drop a mine or a T-bomb in FedCom?
Nope. That is the issue with FedCom. There's nowhere to deal with a large volley of drones. There is none. And that's why...
Well, they didn't think that through there, did they?
Well, that's why I have to read the fighter rules, because of it's possible the fighter rules might limit the number of drones that a fighter squadron can launch at one time. By the way, Chris Newsy confirms what I just found out, which is there's no explosive strength in FedCom.
Wow.
Yeah.
I suddenly feel so much more justified in not buying that game at the moment.
Well, yeah, but same time, Doug.
I remember when it was being developed, a lot of the talking going on about it, and it just didn't grab me.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, I became a poor college student. And that was pretty much a lot of the end of spending on this stuff for me.
Yeah, well, I
remember the efficiency budgeting days where I would get one supplement a payday.
But yeah, I mean, it's like, look, that's been around for how long, and they don't have a way for you to deal with that?
Well, Doug, there are no fighters in FedCom. You don't...
Well, no, why are they still have fun using...
Because
volleys out.
Yeah, because
that begs the question.
What's the question?
If there's no fighters in FedCom, why are there fighters in this battle force?
Well, because they're allowing them to be, you know, because the fighters attacked, they added it. So.
Oh, okay.
You know. They allowed certain things when it comes to FedCom. And
maybe they should consider like some anti-drone stuff as part of their balancing on that.
Understood. Doug,
I have a suspicion that's going to be a hard sell.
Yeah, Doug, first let me reread the rules because if it's possible, we might say, okay, you got a squadron of fighters, but they only can launch two drones for a whole squadron per turn. But basically, I severely doubt that too. But at the same time, one, as I said, the Fed, when it comes to the fighters, they're just introducing them. They started this like 5 years ago, is when they started creating the rules for fighters. They're just now looking to release the product. But before then, there were no fighters in FedCom. So there was no need for T-bombs, no need for Wild Weasel, because you couldn't create a large volley of drones.
And it was needless complexity for what the game was at that time. Yeah, I get it.
Right, and basically, it's like they've had a game that has a significant simplicity of the original game, but now they're coming out and saying, okay, we're going to add this in because it's canon, but it adds this whole other level of complexity, and we're not going to give you a counter for it.
Well, Doug, that's again, I don't know. It's possible in Fighters Attacks that they add T-bombs.
It's one of the hidden annoyances with the way the game is packaged. And I don't mean FC. I mean, it applies to Starfleet Battles and Federation and Empire too. And for all I know, the other flavors of the game out there is that it punishes people for not having a complete set by limiting your tactics.
Understood. But fortunately, when it comes to FedCom, all you need to do is buy an updated rule book, you know, and that's it. You don't have to, if you don't want to, you don't have to buy the full set of, you know, the rules and the ship cards and all that kind of thing. You can buy the rules electronically so that if you have an opponent that has the, you know, has those ship cards, you know, you got the rules for how to play them. You know.
Right. So, well, what I mean is that, you know, you buy basic, then you buy advanced, or in the case of FC, you buy your Klingon or your Romulan border pack, and then you buy your graduate, the next mm-hmm. tier.
Right.
And then next thing you know, somebody shows up wanting to use fighters, and you're scratching your head, go, there's not any rules for that, and they point you to the product. It was something that a lot of people had against TSR at the very end of the first edition era, when there were books for just about everything. And then they decided they were going to revamp everything and validate all the old books and make you buy all new books again. But yeah, you're right. You need to find out what the rules on fighters are. I have a suspicion there'll be some mitigations in that set of rules that may be something you can take advantage of.
Yeah, I would hope so, because I know that when it comes to the fighters, they, well, at least with the drones, that had the whole thing about taking, like, basically it was purely a simplification of the counters on the board. You would have one counter represent like five drones, and then you can move that
swarm rules.
Yeah, swarm rules. Right. So
it does make accounting for the volleys of drones easier.
Right. Oh yeah, it makes it from moving. Yeah, defense. Yeah.
Doesn't that also doesn't the swarm rules also help mitigate overkill on single drones? If you fire multiple weapons at the swarm,
that is possible. I have to look at the fighter rules, which I think are part of the. I think the swarm rules are part of the fighter rules, because that's when they were needed. Because earlier on, when you just had FedCom. How many drones would you have on the board? Unless you want to build a really big fleet, which, again, I'll just point out real quickly how the whole fleet fleet scale didn't work out. You know, neat idea, but if you think through it, it doesn't work. Oh, okay. Chris Newsy was saying the swarm rules were posted in a separate communique, which means I have to look what communique that they're in.
You posted in that one episode.
They're in the omnibus, because that's where I read them.
What do you mean the omnibus?
Whether the fighter rules are in the omnibus, I don't know, but I do know the swarm rules were in the omnibus.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'll find that. I'll find
From
that.
What you showed, it mitigated a lot of the damage, but you're still going to take some. But I was just having a random thought in the back of my head that if you're facing. Yeah. Basically, the way this would work is if you're facing the carrier force and it has a big chunk of fighters, they suck up a lot of the BPV. And in this particular scenario, you're really worried about the ships getting away. And I think Jeff's suggestion earlier about just ignore the fighters, go past the slow drones, kill the high-value targets. Because you only have to have one ship get away to win, and if his ships all die and he's just got fighters on board, if they don't count as ships for the purpose of getting the intel back, you win. I could be wrong on that.
Not to mention the fact the other side of the other plus to that is that if you drive off all of his cap ships before the object disappears, you can go to range zero star castle on the object and maximize your return on intelligence and win on points.
That is an interesting idea.
You just have to like basically go to like range one or zero to get the intel. And it's a matter of who gets away.
I think we looked at it recently, and the you can get intel out, what is it, five or six reliably, and even further out if you're willing to take a chance of getting no data at all. But the best return on investment is going to be at range zero.
And are you allowed to use your bridges as labs in that?
Well, I would think
so. You're only allowed in, I don't know about that, but in Starfleet battles, you're only allowed to use the command space in lieu of a lab if you have no remaining undestroyed laboratories or if your ship never had them.
I.e. the Andromedans.
No matter what I do, and I'm my battle force.
Yeah, I was looking at his ship for a second there. I wasn't seeing the lab. You got to win by using your labs. I don't have any. You're your host.
Yeah, pretty much.
There it is. Each box on a ship card marked lab is one laboratory and is disabled by 1 point of damage. If a ship does not have any labs on the ship card, it still collects information as if it had one lab, as long as it has one control box.
There you go. Yeah.
So,
yay.
Same as it be.
All other ships, you have one, and you win. There you go.
Yeah, well.
Run away from his drone. Oh, so they all run out.
Aside from the carrier, what else has his horse got aside from the carrier and the fighters?
He's got the F5WC, the destroyer leader, which has the five phaser ones, the 23 power, and has two drone racks, and of course, two disruptors.
Okay, so he's got a destroyer leader.
Right.
He's got the carrier itself. How many escorts does he have?
One escort, which is an F5E escort, which has four drone racks, two phaser ones, and three phaser twos. And a little less power. It only has 20 points of power. Sorry. 19. No, 20.
So he's just got the three capital ships?
Four. And he has a scout.
He brought a scout?
Yep, a scout. Which has one drone rack, one rack.
I think your best bet is to shape an attack vector that'll bring you close to the object of study on, and then just try to pop the carrier on the first run, swing out, come back around, do it again, and this time go after the destroyer leader. At that point, if you can cripple those ships on your first and second battle pass, game's yours.
Yeah, sorry. Chris is right. There's seven phaser ones on the destroyer leader, which is insane.
How much control do you have over your displacement device offensively?
Is that it's totally random.
Totally random. Okay.
Yeah, in FedCom, they don't have the possible control thing, which I always loved. That you have a one-third chance of going the direction you want.
Right. Is there the fire control disruption like there is in SFB?
Well, that's what I'm about to check. Because it's been a while.
because usually in SFB engagements, when I was dizzy diving opponents, I didn't usually care where they went. I was just trying to disrupt their fire control and their drone control, because that way I didn't have to worry whether or not they actually went the direction that I was hoping they would go.
Okay. After a non-Andromeda unit is displaced, its systems are disrupted. It cannot fire or launch weapons or use tractors, labs, or transporters for one impulse. With these exceptions, the displaced unit can continue guiding any seeking weapons it was guiding at the time it was displaced.
Oh, there's that strategy out.
Yep. Seeking weapons displaced by a unit other than the one they were tracking lose their tracking and are removed from play. Defensive fire against impacted targets are still allowed. Now, seeking weapons which are impacted on a displaced ship are removed from play unless the displaced ship was self-displaced. Not sure what that means completely. But, yeah, so basically the fire's disrupted, but it doesn't disrupt the control of seeking weapons. Why
Okay. They
did that, I don't know. Because that's one of the reasons why you displace.
I think there's too many people on staff that have a knee-jerk reaction to wanting to nerf the Andromedans whenever there's a chance to do it.
Agreed there. It's standard procedure, die roll 6. The first die roll determines the direction, then the second, whether it's successful or not. Then the first die roll determines the direction, and then the ship's moved in, and the second die roll determines the number of hexes. Not bad. Range 3 to 15, they've got a 2/3 chance of displacing the target.
Right.
Yeah, big surprise. Just want to make sure about anything else. Okay.
You can take, with reinforced panels, you can take how many hits in the front of your ships? Was it 40?
40, yep. Which is why I took the Vipers versus the Cobras, because I can have more phasers with the Vipers than with the Cobras. Because defensively,
that means
the Vipers are the same as the Cobra.
What I'm getting at is that means on your first battle pass, it's going to be harder for him to do any meaningful damage to you unless he picks one or two targets.
Mm-hmm.
And if he does that, you're going to maul him. Even if his carrier turns around, if his carrier and the escort focus on one of your Cobras, and the destroyer leader focuses on the other, and manages to get effectively crippling damage, the end result's going to be that you're still going to have 6 ships worth of phasers and TRs to batter through whatever shielding he can come up with on one shield spine at half the defense you muster. Yeah. The math works out in your favor.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. The tough part about, obviously, if we come directly for an attack run, which it's probably the way to go, with, you know, the idea being that you run close by to the 22-15 target, you know, to gain as much lab while you're passing on through. And of course, the big issue with any tactics that paper that I write up is going to be what happens, which always is going to be what do you do if the what do you think that your opponent will do? That to me is the biggest gotcha in the whole thing. Because we know our opponent, we can't come with those generic tactics of okay, this is the way we're going to fly it. Given that we actually have, we know who our opponent is going to be. That means I have to think about the tactics against that opponent, you know, overall. How do I see it going out? Because of course we have always the first turn, the great battle pass, but what happens after that? Which is always the case. You can't just come barely in on each other and go, okay, who will survive? It's like, no, that's not what you want to do. You might not want to go flying headlong into the teeth of your opponent. And obviously, for me, one thing I definitely have thought about is that the Recon Cobra, the one that has a displacement device, is one that I'm going to hold back a little bit because I want to be able to use the displacement device to displace the opponent's ships and disrupt them and move them around.
Right.
So that they can't be together as a coherent group. Try to disrupt them as much as possible. And now, obviously, you know, they might want to attack that one ship, but you know, if I play the protection game with it, which is I don't care about the labs. I'm just gonna have that run away, and keep a good distance compared to the rest of my force. Now, if they go, okay, well, we're gonna ignore your force, which would be in my mind a very bad move. And just go after the recon ship. Well, okay, that means you're going to be having most of your weapons. I'm going to be chasing you. You're going to be going after my one ship. And yes, I'm going to be fighting an uphill battle against your drones. But I don't have to worry about your main offensive weapons. You know? Please do that. Yeah. You know, disruptors are gone. Yeah, you can probably fire most of your phasers at me, but you know you've also decreased the amount of offensive potential that you can possibly offensive damage you can do. And I definitely have enough phasers that I should be able to keep the drones at bay, assuming that my ships survive. Well, that's always the gotcha in this. You know,
you can trade him ship. You can trade him capital ship for capital ship and still come out on top. He's got to get you at 2.5 to 1 in order to put himself in a position where he can survive the battle with something that can get the data back. That's not that easy. And I'm only giving the scout half credit, but because they tend to be fragile and they have very little offensive capability by themselves. The fighters are a question mark, but if there's nowhere for them to land to get reloads and you lose 3 or 4 ships to the drones, which is probably generous, then where exactly are you if you're dealing with half of your force in full fighting form, and him with an escort, a destroyer leader, and a scout, probably with some internals and shield damage.
Mm-hmm. I gotta love this. I was just doing a quick look-see at, I thought, maybe Steve Cole would, I'm sorry, Steve Petrick would have an idea when it comes to tactics, what's expected. A couple of things that are definitely expected. Since the general idea for tactics is that you should have at least three paragraphs, but no more than a column, half a page in a captain's log. We are continuing the format for FedComs, and some readers like tactics with the battle groups. And so simply like the battle groups created for point values. Now, number 11. Tactics that rely on evading combat will result in an automatic rejection. You're required to fight, not simply show the flag. So just coming in and flying away is not an option.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's vague enough that if you had the force you're facing is not, it's not a viable tactic, but on the Starfleet battle side, the force I'm dealing with, if the Gorn decides to leave one of his smaller units on his side of the map and never actually heads my direction, leaving it out of range, that's kind of dirty pool.
Oh, understood. The idea of basically keep one ship out of combat, which is not exactly easy. Was it mentioned? Let me look. Is this a floating map?
It wasn't specified, but the way the thing's written, I don't believe either scenario is a floating map.
Okay.
It really can't be if they're saying that particular hack.
Well, you can.
Scroll back down to the hack there.
You can have a floating map of centered around that one hex. So basically that hex can never be off the board.
Okay, so there's no limit on space.
But the thing is that since you withdraw by exiting your entrance row of hexes, there's no provision for floating the map in that direction.
Oh, okay. So in other words, probably not, and they failed to specify the minor detail.
Right.
Yeah. But like I said, when your opponent can disengage by leaving their row of hexes, if you're chasing them, you can't float away.
Well, how do you transfer the data?
That mechanism has been hinted at, but not codified. Basically, I think what Patrick said was that any ship can basically have the data from anybody else.
Right.
They just have to get off the map with it.
Right. He said it explicitly.
That opens forms for the tactic you just mentioned, which would be really dirty pool in a sense.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking, particularly with my matchup. I've got one probe launcher and four dedicated lab boxes in the entire fleet, and the other guy's got a complete set all the way around. So it's like, yeah, there's no reason for him to bring everything to the party. He just leaves one out there on the far side that I can't send anybody out to attack without having my own sets of problems.
Right, but at the same time,
if you want to split the hairs on it, holding a unit back for that purpose like that would be a form of evasion.
In the Starfleet battle side, it said specifically retrograde. It didn't say evasive.
Right, but I saw it on his thing where it said evasion.
Right.
Based on evasion.
Right.
Yeah, would not be accepted. It would be automatically rejected.
Well, remember, in FC, a fighting retrograde is suicide because it is insanely expensive movement cost-wise. In Starfleet right. battles, you can go in reverse at the same cost, but in FC, if you want to travel in reverse, you're paying twice for every hex.
Right. Well, I'm not splitting that here. I'm just saying that in his case, that would be, like, he can't do that.
Right.
Like, if Paul said, I'm going to keep one of my ships way over here, and it's not going to engage, and I'm going to engage with the rest of the force, that one can get away with the data. That would be an evasive tactic.
It would, but for Paul, it doesn't make any sense. He needs all of his guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. He does. And quite frankly, I think if they suck up a whole bunch, the biggest thing is just neutralizing the effect of the fighters for you. And that means
right.
stay at high speed, you keep the drones from hitting you. And, you know, maybe displace his group, one of the ships to break up his battle group. But if you could probably make several passes and just pick off ship after ship of his. Question is, Because of that imbalance of the cost of the fighters. If you pick off all the escorts, then there's really nothing to stop you from killing the carrier then. Like I said, if you kill all his ships, he loses because he gets no data off the board. If all he had left are fighters, well... You can cripple them at your leisure as you gather your data and leave. You don't have to kill everything. You can leave his fighters there to die in space.
Is there death dragging of fighters in FC?
Yes, there was, I believe.
Because...
That's just me. I had from what I saw the other week, and I could be very wrong.
Because the year...
I think
the year scenario is where you're not going to have fighters with the ability to have their speed up higher than it would take to make death dragging impossible. And if it's a reload turn, using a single point of power on the TRs to death drag a fighter might be an effective use.
I wasn't seeing it. Death dragging fighter.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now.
Chris said.
And I don't.
Chris said no death dragging.
Yeah, I don't see any death dragging. They have crippled.
Well,
which...
If they're crippled, what happens to the ability to control drones? So that, does it get halved or negated?
A crippled fighter cannot fire. It's heavy weapons or any charges in them are lost. Cannot launch drones or plasma. They are dropped and lost. It can only fire a single phase of three shot once per turn. A crippled fighter can be partially or completely repaired if, after some repair, it has enough damage points. It no longer triggers crippled. If a fighter it has multiple phasers or phaser shots, at least one phaser shot remains. It still can get one shot on the turn it was crippled.
Oh, here we go. Fighters are destroyed. If towed at over speed 16, you do have death dragging in that. Is it right there?
Yep, there it is. Yep. Fires are destroyed if towed.
Right.
Right there.
I thought I made a mistake about that, but I was wrong about it.
Well, so if all eight of your ships survive on the first battle pass when you come back by to get your information on the second turn, if he's got his fighters out, death drag them rather than use your TRL beams.
Right. Well, instead of firing TRL beams, use the TRLs as tractors. Yep.
Yeah.
Some problems just solve themselves.
That's one way of putting it.
But then, I personally think you just flap a ship a turn until he has no ships left.
Yeah, I'm in that camp too, because. After you after you cripple, or after you cripple or kill any of his capital ships, his ability to hurt you in return diminishes significantly.
Yeah, the problem is how much damage does Paul take doing that? That's the trade-off.
Right.
But, you know, you could take him.
Well, if he loses two Cobras on the first battle pass and he pops the carrier, I'd call that even money.
Okay.
If he loses two more Cobras on the second pass and he pops the destroyer leader, that's better than even money.
Yeah.
Because if he's left with one escort and a scout, and you have four, half your original force, he's gonna be stuck with a lot of bad options, since, as far as I recall with FC, the electronic warfare game was removed.
Yep. Well, the good...
Which means scouts aren't nearly as useful in such situations.
Yep. Now, I checked, and when it comes to drone arm fighters are armed with, two phases, three, two. A drone arm fighter can only launch a single drone on any given turn. It takes an energy to load a drone onto a fighter. Any drone controlled by a fighter must remain 15 hexes or closer to a fighter, or be immediately removed from play. Ooh. So the drones are controlled by the fighter.
Okay.
Now, I'm assuming that you can, if you have enough control channels, you can change what is controlling it. That's controlling the drone. That would be my assumption. But if the drone's being controlled by the fighter must remain within 15 hexes of that drone. So, are you kidding me? Oh, freaking hell. Chris was mentioning that scouts do have an EW effect in FedCom. So, I guess I'm going to have to look that up too. Gosh darn it.
Does your recon Cobra count as a scout?
No. It doesn't have any special sensors.
Yeah.
You can do it for direct fire defense. If not used, I think that function, each special sensor may be used to defend against one direct fire weapons. Defend against direct fire weapons once per turn. They pay 1 point of energy. Designate a ship within 12 hexes of the scout, and each such use is declared after all weapons fire has been allocated, but before any is resolved. Any ship. Okay, so it would be offensive jamming. If a designated ship causes the die roll to shift one for all weapons fire from that enemy ship.
Well, just out of curiosity, the ship that his scout.
Mm-hmm.
How many labs does that ship have?
Two.
And how many special sensors does it have?
Two.
Well, if he's doing the information gathering thing, you're not going to have to worry about that, because if FC mirrors SFB in this regard, he's got to pair a lab with each special sensor in order to gain the special sensors' improved information gathering.
Yep, and that's what I'm looking at, which is... It says lab information. Every special sensor box on a ship If given 1 point of energy during an energy allocation, allows one lab box to gain information at range 10 as if the ship was at range 1. So either you can use it for offensive jamming, or you can use it for gathering labs. You can't do both.
And you've only got 2 channels. So, yeah.
You can't do either if you kill them.
That's true.
Gotta love it. And as Chris Newsy pointed out in the chat room, which is ships cannot generate ECCM. So basically, there's no way to offset the jamming. Yay!
But is that self-defense jamming only, or can that be lent to other units?
Offensive jamming, you can lend it to other units.
Okay. Well, the way to deal with that is that when you go in on your battle pass, don't alpha strike, Mises strike.
Understood.
Yeah, you might lose some weapons between the first and the second firing opportunity. But the thing is, if he's got to declare, then if you give him three groups of fire, it can only affect 2.
True.
If you get rid of the scout, well, then you can go back to alpha striking just to mitigate the ability to. As I recall, in FC, there's really no benefit to my attacks because of the way DAC applies.
Right, right. And FedCom, there's no Vizia. Because of it's a totally different damage allocation system. Fun. But anyhow, guys, at this point, I think we need to wrap it up because it's getting quite late. It's getting close to 11 o'clock. And I still need to wrap this thing up and push it out the door. I did not expect to be doing this. That is, I was not expecting to talk the whole night about the battle group. But
well, sounded like it was a good round table chat, though.
Yeah, but we are where we are. And thank you, Chris, point out where the fighters is in the communique. Thank you so much. That was a big help pour moi. So, but anyway, Doug, it was wonderful having you around. You have a good night.
Thanks for having me. Good night.
Okay. Jeff, it's always a pleasure to having you around. You stay safe out there.
I'll do that just for you.
Okay, thank you. You have a good night.
Good night.
So, that turned out a little different than I expected. But, of course, like any time I've ever posted the topic for the evening, it's something to change without notice, case in point. I meant to just do a quick review and then get on with talking about the products that have been released for the past 20 years. But obviously that didn't happen. Whoops. But anyhow, I don't think anyone is truly, truly complaining about that. But we had the nice discussion, got to talk about actually FedCom a lot, and more importantly, the fighters. You know, and thank you, Chris Newsy, for pointing out where the rules were so I could bring them up and actually talk about a little more, with a little more information than I have had in, you know, before I looked it up. Because I went through the rules in the past, I just don't remember them. Because, you know, the only way to really truly remember rules is actually use the rules and actually use them in play. That's the way to actually conicize them into your head, you know, kind of burn them into your brain. So anyway, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.